This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience is putting you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle is blown in the game between Belgium and Morocco. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Welcome back, everyone. We just observed our first match of the day between Belgium and Morocco. It was an interesting game from a tactical perspective, but in the end the tactics did not make the difference, but a free kick from the corner flag. My name is Arnie Barres. I'm joined by Pascal Zuberbühler and Jürgen Klinsmann, our technical experts, as well as Chris Loxton and Harry Lowe from FIFA. Jürgen, your thoughts on the game?
Well, I thought we saw a very entertaining second half. First half, it was... both teams were basically eliminating each other in the midfield in their formations, and none of the teams really got a rhythm and combined certain elements in order to get goal-scoring chances. So there were very, very few chances or half chances, if so. But it all changed second half. I think second half, after a couple of minutes, especially Morocco, started to pick up rhythm and trying to create opportunities. And step by step, you know, we had a far more open game. Opportunities came up on both sides, but mainly on the Moroccan side. They had good energy. They had good passing in their game. And eventually, you know, a situation came up similar to what we've seen at the end of the first half with a side free kick that was basically directly going into goal. I mean, in the first half, they gave it an offside, right so. But in the second half, then very, very similar from the other side. The ball came in with a lot of speed for Courtois. It was very difficult to see. And we're speculating if number six, basically, for Morocco still touched the ball or not. But the ball went in the back of the net, and he was not offside. So he opened up the game and the score, which was then exciting because the Moroccan fans were unbelievable, loud, and supportive of their team. So Belgium tried to hit them back and brought in also Lukaku, you know, their secret weapon in a certain way. I call him always the bullet train. But they didn't really create anything anymore, and then a wonderful counterattack by Morocco then led into the second goal and closed the game. Overall, exciting to watch second half, and obviously this changes the dynamic in their group and the situation for the third group stage games of all the four teams in this group. So yeah, it was definitely entertaining.
Jürgen, we spoke at halftime about teams in this competition so far not necessarily going at the opposition, but we spoke about the one versus ones. It's something I'm excited to see in our post-match reports, but did you see much more of that in the second half?
In the second half, definitely, especially towards the last 20-25 minutes, they really started then to just go and take a bit of a risk. You know, I was hoping in the first time to see that actually from Ziyech and Hakimi on the right flank for Morocco. I mean, those are two wonderful players. They have the technical capabilities to really hurt you, but they never did it really. So it took pretty much always until the end of the game, and Ziyech had this wonderful one against one situation. He dribbled, he made it happen, and the second goal happened. But it's an element, one against one, that if you use it and if you take some risks, you can make a huge difference. You know, you can create chances out of nothing. And Belgium today, unfortunately, didn't go for those elements. De Bruyne, whom I'm a big admirer of, never got really into those situations where he could go one against one. Nor did Eden Hazard, or then when Mertens came in, he tried to kind of give it more life to it, but they didn't create enough chances then really to turn the game around.
And we're going to come back to the game in a little bit, but Chris, just another question on the team lineups, because it's one of the responsibilities of the TSG prior to the game to provide those tactical team lineups. Can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Yeah, so it starts before the tournament starts, because we went through all 32 teams. Our analysis team looked at many games, obviously 32 teams, it's quite a lot to prepare for. So, you know, when the start lists come in, you know, we have to make an informed decision as to what that lineup is going to be, not only the system of play, but also which players are going to play in each system. But it is always an informed decision. You know, we're never in the dressing room. We don't know exactly the way the coach is going to start. So we're not always right, but we do have a substantial amount of research behind those decisions.
Great. And the reason I brought it up, because it's obviously never an easy decision to make or something easy to predict, but I felt this time it was particularly difficult and also interesting to see how Belgium lined up in and out of possession. Harry, can you tell us a little bit about your or our thought process prior to the game and then how the actual team shape looked like during the game?
Yeah, you're right, Honor. It was a particular challenge for this game, but mainly due to the changes that Belgium made. So there were the introduction of Onana, Meunier and Thorgan Hazard for this match. So we thought possibly they would line up in a 3-5-2, similar to how they played in the last match as well. But you know that was different, and that was reflected in our team shape. So the team shape metric in possession allows us to look at the players on the pitch relative to each other throughout the match, and that was shown as a 2-4-4 for Belgium, with the two centre backs being the deepest unit. The four in midfield was Timothy, Castagne, Onana, Witsel and Meunier. And then the attacking line was Thorgan Hazard, Eden Hazard, Batshuayi and Kevin De Bruyne. So what it also emphasised is Meunier playing in the second midfield unit was playing a deeper role than Thorgan Hazard on the opposite side, who was playing much higher in that attacking line. And it also shows us that there was they emphasised playing on the left. So the team shape is showing that there's a constellation of players on the left-hand side of the pitch, which linked to their heavy usage of that left-hand side. Their final third entries were seven on the left and three in the inside left channel compared to three on the right. And it does show quite a detached shape of Meunier from the rest of the team. It also was emphasised by Thorgan and Eden Hazard's receptions. So they had the joint highest between the opponent's defensive and midfield line, both finished the first half with 10 each. What was quite interesting that there was only one defensive line break for both teams in that game. In the first half of that game. So although there was a lot of potential build-up from Belgium, they were unable to penetrate as often and probably as they would have liked.
So essentially what it also meant is that Belgium had one player on the right wing and two players on the left wing, and they went to the left side a lot. Jürgen, what do you think is the thinking behind it? How did it impact the game? What did you make out of this?
The purpose is always, how do I create more space and more areas where I can open up and stretch the opponent, you know? So that's how you try to shape up, and it depends on the speed of play, it depends on the creativity of the players, and the willingness also to interchange your positions. And interesting today on the Belgium side was that they kind of were very static in the way they played their own positions. You know, once they got to in their positions, say Eden Hazard, obviously Bajuavi is a center forward, he stays up there, but even De Bruyne, he didn't really roam that much as we see him usually. He's roaming more left and right, and it's difficult to catch, and then he goes one against one. Today he was more static there on the half right position, and that makes it easier then for the opponent just to close them down and to give them no opportunities then to penetrate the 18-yard box and have shots on goal. And I mean, we all know Kevin De Bruyne, as soon as he can get an open area of 20-25 yards out with the ball, he's capable to hit the target right away, as Messi obviously showed us yesterday. So that changes, and this is very important for the teams, you know, that they create opportunities themselves by movement off the ball, meaning the players that are not in possession of the ball, that they constantly roam around, giving them choices, different passing, creating also triangles in certain way, and then confuse the opponent a bit. And that was behind that idea, but it didn't work out for Belgium.
Jürgen, you mentioned Batshuayi struggling to maybe to get in the game, and for Belgium to use him. in the central channel for final third entries, there were zero for Belgium, so it emphasised that again, the usage of the left-hand side, maybe not as much going through the middle, but also he registered the second fewest receptions in the first half. And the only player to receive fewer times was the goalkeeper of the opposition. So Morocco's goalkeeper registered 3, Batshuayi with 7.
That shows that when we kind of watched the game and looked at the back line from Morocco and also the number 4 screening in front of the back line, which for me actually was the player of the match, a fantastic performance by him. He did not allow any balls through to Batshuayi. And we saw in our first game when Batshuayi scored the beautiful goal, it was a long ball over the back line. So that's the only way they got him actually into the game, gave him one opportunity, and he used that opportunity. Today, there was no space behind the back line because they dropped deeper. And in front of the two center backs was number 4 cleaning everything up. It was fantastic. And that was a way to take Batshuayi basically completely out of the game.
Great, thank you, Jürgen. In the end, the tactics didn't make the difference really, but a free kick almost from the left corner flag. Zubi, talk to us about that goal, please.
Yes, it was a free kick from the side, and Belgica, they put a two-man wall there with Batshuayi and Mertens. First of all, they didn't jump together, they split it a little bit, and the ball came between their heads in. A very good free kick against the goalkeeper, against Courtois. In this moment, I was surprised that De Bruyne, who was the first man in the zone at the back, he was around almost 2 meters behind the height from the wall. And this surprised me. Normally you start always to defend in the line, defensive line, on the height of the wall. And this didn't happen in this moment, and Belgic even came 2 meters back to the goal line. And this for Courtois was almost not possible to react in any direction. I was surprised because already in the first half, when they scored another goal, what was offside, also there, the defensive line, I didn't like how Belgic was moving or not moving with the strikers or with the player from Morocco. And in this situation, I expect that at least you keep the line, the defensive line high, then you have, as a goalkeeper, you have the space to make an intervention. And this didn't happen on this goal, finally, from size. Before you mention also the goalkeeper from Morocco, El Khachoui, that was also very special because he started finally. Bono, the clear number one, he made the warm up, but he didn't felt well. Finally, I hope it's nothing heavy on him happens. But you see how important it is to have a very good number 2, because El Khachoui, he was really very good in the game. He was brave, he came out for crosses, and together with the two center back size and Aguert, and also, as Jürgen mentioned, with the number 4 Amrabat, they were fantastic, brilliantly, and like this they kept the clean sheet.
Fantastic, gentlemen. Thank you very much for your insights, and everyone else, of course, for listening. We are now on our back to a game that a few people in this car, I think, are particularly looking forward to, Germany against Spain. Join us again later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.